This week is Parshas Chukas, which has a number of topics in it. Of course, it begins with Parah Aduma, which we're not going to be looking at today. And since we're using the commentary this year of the Ksav HaKabbalah, I thought that we'd look at his perspective on the Mei Meriva story, because that's always the narrative which captures a lot of attention, because it's such a compelling story. And the story, of course, is in chapter 20, and there are two points to the story. There's what happens before Moshe is given the instructions to take the staff, etc., and to talk to the rock, etc. And there is what happens at the time when God actually gives him the instruction and how he follows through with it. And it's important to recognize that the story can't be viewed in a vacuum. It is the story that it is, but it's also in the context of what immediately precedes it. And the larger picture of things, let's just say what happens here is not the first time, and it's not the last time that the reactions that we see follow this particular formula. But the key here are two components. Number one is what Moshe does as a result and afterwards, and also what lesson is learned. That's one component to it. And the other part is, what's the end result insofar as the way God relates to Moshe? Okay, we're familiar with the idea that Moshe is told, talk to the rock, he hits the rock, and then it seems to be, well, you can't go to Israel. I mean, it doesn't follow. It doesn't make any sense. It's not the way God operates. And how does God operate in the world? It's usually a very simple formula that God utilizes. It's called Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. That's the way God operates. So how is it Mida Keneged Mida, if that's what if Moshe's told hit a rock, he doesn't hit a rock. Talk to a rock, he doesn't talk to it, he hits it, and then you don't get to go into the land. Anybody? Right? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So that's really what we need to uncover. So last year, not in this class, but I discovered the Netziv, who has a fascinating commentary, where he says that what Moshe's job was to show how you can extract water from something that doesn't really have water. Okay, and if you think about what Israel is now, I mean, nowadays, like in the 21st century, Israel has essentially solved their water problem. I mean, they reuse 90% of their wastewater, and they desalinate, and they have a bunch of different methods that they utilize to extract water out of where you don't have water. But you didn't have that technology a long time ago. So what Netziv says, what Moshe was supposed to do, is he was supposed to be showing people how you're going to live in a place which potentially doesn't have water. And when Moshe doesn't give people the right kind of guidance about how to live in that situation, the Mida Keneged Mida is that he's not given the opportunity to live in that situation. Now there, you know, that at least follows along the lines of Mida Keneged Mida. Okay. So let's take a look at the Chumash. And I gave not so much commentary today because the Chumash is really essential. To see if we could follow what actually takes place. Okay, so we start with chapter 20. We're on page 842. Okay, now this is essential to the story. They get to this place, Mibartzin, in the first month, and they're in Kadesh. Miriam dies, and she's buried there. Okay? So what's going on? If Miriam dies, that means that there are at least two people, if not her children as well, or children we don't know too much about her children, except that our understanding from Diriyam is that Hur was her son, but he's not the only one. At least we don't know. So, but Hur is gone. So, at least her siblings should be sitting Shiva, right? There wasn't water for the Eda. So the Eda did not have water, and so they gathered against Moshe and Aaron. Okay? That's interesting. What's this Ada doing? What? No. It just says they gathered. Okay. Now, you know, and this is, by the way, this is so important, because when you look at the English, you kind of lose what I'm about to show you. What does Pasuk Gimel tell us? Vayarev ha'am in Moshe. There's a group which is in Ada who came, right, to the place where Miriam died, and the Ada did not have water. Ada is a whole congregation, but however you want to describe it, it's one translation. Vayarev ha'am in Moshe, the Am, the nation, they fight with Moshe. Vayomiru lemor v'luga v'anu v'achenu v'fnei Hashem. Now, who's describing these people as an Am, the people who are fighting with Moshe? It's not a trick question. Who's describing the people as an Am?
God.
Right? The narrator, the Torah's narrator. So if it's God, if it's Moshe, okay? So they complain. And how do they describe themselves? V'lama ha'vesem es kehal Hashem. Why did you bring the community of God, the congregation of God? Okay? Elam edvar zelamusham anachnu uvirenu. Why did you bring this wonderful community, this community of God, to this wilderness? Lamus Sham. I don't know what Lamus Sham means. Lamus Sham, should say Lamus Po, right, to die here. I mean, Lamus Sham. They're talking about some other place. Are they not where they are? Okay, anyway. Lama Elisunim Mitzrayim, why'd you take us out of Egypt? Why'd you bring us up from Egypt, actually? Better language. Lavio Sanu Lamakom Harazah. They bring us to this terrible place. Lomakom Zera, there's no seeds, and there's no figs, and no grapes, and no pomegranates, and my mind was toes, and no water. Vayavo, Moshe Yaram, Mipinei HaKahol, El Pesach HaMoeh, Vayipu Apnei Hem, Vayirach Vod HaShem Aliyah. So Moshe and Aaron, they go away from this Kahol to the opening of the tent, and they fall on the face. There's one Achumash, there's one right on that shelf, the second to top shelf on the right, on the left side of the shelf. Okay, is there more? There's a whole bunch. Okay, so that's the background. Okay, there's no water. I'm sorry, Miriam dies. There's no water. There's one group, the Ada, that just gathered against Moshe and Aaron. When they gather, what are they doing? Moshe and Aaron. They're not even saying anything. Okay, Moshe and Aaron. What's going to be? You've dealt with, meaning they're not saying anything, but the implication is you've dealt with this before. We'll wait for you. That's one group, and the Am, they're fighting with Moshe. Okay. So then, Vayirach Vod Hashem Aliyah. Now Moshe does not really complain to God. Moshe doesn't say here, God, what am I supposed to do? In the past, Moshe has said, what am I supposed to do? And we're going to see. In a couple minutes, I'm going to show you the first time that a similar kind of incident happened and how Moshe responded. But Moshe does not do that. Okay? By Daber Hashem Moshe Lemor, God says to Moshe the following. Kach esamateh, take the staff, v'hakel esa eda, and gather the eda. Okay? Who's the eda? Those are the people who were
quiet.
Who were quiet. Okay? Atah v'aron achicha, V'dibartem el asela, so you and your brother, Aaron, your brother, v'dibartem el asela, and you're going to speak. Now, el asela is just a strange term. What does it mean? You're going to speak? You're going to speak what? To the rock you're going to speak? You're going to speak to the people at the rock? Le'enehem, to their eyes. What, that they should see that you're talking to a rock, that they should see that you're talking to them. V'nasan me'mav, and it will give its water. So Moshe is not being told what to tell the rock, or is he? Or is he being told, quote, v'nasan me'imav, that the water should bring water? V'hotseisa lahem ma'im inasela, and you have to bring out water for them from this rock, v'hishkisa es ha'eda v'es b'iram, and you're going to give to drink to the Eda and to their cattle. Okay, to their animals. V'yikach Moshe es ha'mateh, milifnei Hashem keshetzivo. Now Moshe takes the mateh from before Hashem. So now, the letter He is called the He Ayadiyah, which seems to indicate that it's a very specific mateh, a very specific staff. And the Torah here describes how he takes it, Milifnei Hashem Kasher Tzivahu, from before God, as he had been commanded. Now what should happen next? He's supposed to gather the people with Aaron, right? Vayakilu Moshe V'Aaron Es HaKahol Opnei HaSela. What was Moshe told to do? gather the kahal. He was told, gather the Edah. Moshe gathers the kahal. That's the problem. That's the problem. Why? Because who were the Edah? The Edah were people who were standing and waiting. Who's the kahal? They're the people who think that they're so holy, but they're really an am. They're, you know, tick, 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 tick.
Try to call it kahal as opposed to the term they used earlier.
I don't know, but Moshe's told to gather the Edah. And why they're called the kahal here, it's not the Edah. Because what Moshe says to them, Moshe says, listen, you rebels, am I going to bring, are we going to bring out water for you from this sela?
But they identified themselves as a kahal, right?
What?
They
called themselves a kahal Hashem, yeah. So, but the point is that Moshe starts saying things that he wasn't supposed to do. V'dibartem v'la sela le'inihem v'nasan me'mov. So this is, you know, I mean, already, this is not, he's not talking el hasela. He's not talking el hasela v'nasan me'mov. He's giving some speech about how the water is going to come out. We, Aaron, you guys are a bunch of rebels. And then v'yarem Moshe yado v'yachas hasela v'mateu pamayim. Remember what Moshe was supposed to do after v'dibartem v'la sela le'inihem. Speak to, at the rock, whatever it is. And it will give water. You will bring out water for them from the rock. So when Moshe lifts up his hand, and he strikes this rock with his own staff twice, he does right. A lot of water comes out, and the Eda and Bi'iram, they get to drink. So it seems that the real mess up was that Moshe spoke to the kahal instead of to the Eda, and didn't pull off the V'dibartem el asel le'inihem v'nasan me'mov. As far as hitting the rock with his staff, that is how you do it, and I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. The last point that I just want to make is the difference between the phrase of which staff Moshe takes. Moshe is told, kaches hamater, take the staff, not kaches matecha. Moshe is told so many times in the Torah, take matecha, your staff. He's not told that here. He's told, take the staff. And what does he take? Vayikach Moshe es hamater, milufnei Hashem. He takes the staff. And then later on, when he strikes the rock with the staff, it doesn't say, you know, vayaches hasela, you know, im hamater. He doesn't say with the staff. It says b'matehu, with his staff. So there's a difference. Some of the commentaries, I'm pretty sure it's Chizkuni and the Rashbam for sure, who say that what most of the, that hamateh refers to the staff from last week's parsha, the one that blossomed, which Moshe was told, put it near the Aron l'mishmeres la'os l'vnei, as a sign to those who rebel. And what's the point of that? That when people rebel, you take this staff and you say nothing. You just say, hey, look, you know, remember? Don't rebel. That's what this staff, you don't have to say it. The staff is meant to imply that. People look at it and say, all right, yes, we remember it, we got it. Well, now the truth is that could have taken place a long time ago, but the staff was around, because the Korach story takes place, you know, in the second year, whereas this is taking place in the 40th year. Okay, but still, so Moshe took the staff. The fact that he struck the rock with his staff is, I think, an actual fulfillment of Vehotseisa Lahem Mayim Min Hasela, that you have to bring forth water from the rock and give the Eda and Bi'iram and their animals to drink, which is exactly what Moshe does. Now, what's the God's response? Because you did not have faith in me to sanctify me, Le'enei B'nei Yisrael. Okay? What does that mean? So, now, there's no mention here yet of Eda, Am. It's just referred to as B'nei Yisrael. But what Moshe was supposed to do, le'enei b'nei Yisrael. What was Moshe supposed to do, le'enei b'nei Yisrael? V'dibartem el hasela le'eneihem. That's what Moshe was supposed to do. V'dibartem el hasela le'eneihem. So Moshe didn't do that. L'chein lo saviu es hakahol hazeh. So you cannot bring this kahol. Who's the kahol? That's the group that Moshe fought with. El ha'aretz asher nasati lehem, to the land that I'm giving them. Hema memri vasher ravu ben Israel sashem vayikadesh bam. That this is the waters of strife, where the children of Israel contended with Hashem, and He was sanctified through them. But what does that mean? He was sanctified through them. Was God sanctified in the story, or was He not sanctified in the story? Was there a desecration of God's name, or was there a consecration and a great name given to God through the bringing forth of the water? The Torah seems to say, "Vayikadesh bam," God was sanctified. Yeah.
You know, as an aside, we're seeing two different Moshes over here. Mm-hmm. There's a Moshe from Shemos, mm-hmm. and there's a Moshe from Bamidbar. The Moshe from Shemos is every time Am Yisrael does something really, really bad, whether it's the eagle or whether
right.
it's something else,
he comes to defend them.
He comes to defend them.
Right.
Here he sort of lost his patience.
Okay, so
Bahalosecha, please do me a favor.
Right, of course.
Love me, kill me.
Agreed. Yeah, okay, so I can't get too stuck in that because I have to get through two pages of this of the Aksava Kabbalah, but you're right. It seems to be a different Moshe. I want to argue because that I'm sure people have heard a similar thought process. I want to argue that it's not a different Moshe. That it's not the hopeless guy. There's something else going on here. Okay, take a look at the back page here in the package which I gave you. Okay, where you see a comparison between this time and the other time that this happened. Okay, in Parashas B'Shalach, right before the war with Amalek,
really?
The people... This top right box. Okay, so the top right box, Shmos Perek Zayin. There, this is before the war with Amalek, the battle with Amalek, where the people come. So take a look. Look at the... It's fascinating. I should have even noted this parallel. I don't know why I didn't. Vayisu kol adas b'nei Yisrael... Mimidbar Sin, the Masahem al Pi Hashem by Yachanuber Fidin. So if you go across to Bamibar Chaf, I have opened Israel called Midbar Sin, the Chodesh Rishon. Okay, it was a similar wilderness, even though this story here takes place in Shemos, the story takes place in Rafidim. Ve'ein Mayim Lishtos Ha'am. Okay, that's Pasuk Aleph in Shemos Zayin. What do we see in Parachaf in Bamidbar? V'lo Hayamayim La'ida. Okay? That's what I'm trying to make the argument, that in Bamidbar, the problem is that Moshe thought he knew how to deal with an Am. And this idea of the Eidah is just a totally different concept, which was not as familiar. And so when he's given certain kinds of instruction for the Eidah, he mixes the two, and then it falls apart. Pasuk back in Shemos Yudzayin, Vayarev Ha'am in Moshe, which is the same as in Gimel, in Bamidbar Chaf. So the people fought with Moshe, the nation fought with Moshe, and they say, "Tenu lanu mayim v'nisheg, give us water and drink." Moshe says, "Why are you fighting with me?" Okay, now what does Moshe say to the people who come to him originally? Nothing. He says nothing until God gives him instruction, which he doesn't ask for. Pasuk Gimel back in Shemos Yudzayin, right? It's Masham Ha'am lamayim. It's the only group that's being discussed there is Am. You have to remember, of course, that the people at that time were a very different kind of people because it's immediately post leaving Egypt, prior to the giving of the Torah. So they haven't had that spiritual awakening, if you will. They're just slaves who are trying to get by, trying to survive. They don't know very much in the scheme of things. We don't know much about their religious connection, their spiritual connection, however you want to take that. The people are thirsty. Vayolin ha'am al Moshe, and they... complained against Moshe by Yomer, and he said, and he well, it's actually the every man says, Lama ze ha'alisunu mimitzrayim l'hamiso sivyas banai v'yas miknai batzama. Why did you take me out of Egypt so that I and my children and animals will die of thirst? Okay? Now that's a very different argument than the argument which they have in Bamidbar. In Bamidbar they say, oh, we should have died the way Bigvachinu lifnei Hashem. Who are they talking about? The way our brethren died before God? Who's that? Who died before God? Are they talking about Korach? Right? That's question number one. That's in Bamidbar Perchav. What else do they say? They say, you took out this Kahal Hashem, this amazing community of people who never complain to this wilderness, so that we'll all die. Okay? V'lamel yisunu mimitzrayim. And why did you take us out of Egypt to bring us to this terrible place where nothing grows? Now again, who's talking? This is a second generation group. What do they know from Mitzrayim? They don't know anything from Mitzrayim. That whole, everybody from that generation is dead. Right? So they're saying, oh, we should go back to Egypt. These people have never seen a Zera, they've never seen a Te'ena, they've never seen a Geffen, they've never seen a Rimon. What are they talking about? They're pining for a life which they know nothing about. It's like when people talk about the good old days, and they forget, oh yeah, the good old days. Yes, when you could die at 30, because there was no such thing as medication. Right? You know, surgery was was done in a non-sterile manner, and good luck to you if the surgeon's shoe had some bacteria on it when he sharpened the knife. I mean, you can go for that. Whereas the people in Shemos Zion, they say, why'd you take us out? That we should die of thirst and of hunger. Totally reasonable. They don't know anything yet. So there, Pasuk Dalet, Vayitzak Moshe Hashem Lemor, Moeseh La'amazel, Me'adis Kolumi. Moshe turns to God and says, what am I supposed to do? In other words, Moshe has never been tested this way before. Rabbi Kosofsky, you don't need a chumash at this point. Yeah, everything's going to be in here now. Okay, you don't need a chumash. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, yeah. I have for everybody.
Oh, I
see. You have a chumash. I'm sorry. Moshe is saying, what am I supposed to do? These people, they look like they're going to stone me. Okay. Whereas in Bamidbar, Moshe has been down this road before. He knows the people, so he doesn't say anything to God. Go back on the bottom right on this back page. Yomar Hashem el Moshe. So Hashem gives Moshe instructions. He says, Avor lufnei ha'am. You have to pass before the people, take the elders with you, and listen to the staff, your staff, the one with which you struck the river. And the Torah describes that, the plague of blood, despite what Rashi will tell you, how Moshe strikes the river in the plague of blood. And Moshe is told and again, it says Yor, so that's not the splitting of Yamsuf, that's the splitting of the Yeor. The Yeor equals the Nile. Kach b'yadcha b'alachta, you're going to take that in your hand, you're going to go. Hinu yomei levanach Hashem al atzur b'choreb, yikiz b'atzur b'yatzur ma'im v'shasa'am. So God says, I'm going to be standing on the rock, whatever that means, and you're going to strike the rock, water's going to come out, the Am is going to drink, and Moshe does that le'inei ziknei Yisrael in front of the Zekanim.
Okay, is this staff the same staff that Moshe threw down in front of Paro?
Moshe didn't throw down a staff in front of Paro. Aaron threw down a staff in front of Paro.
To become a snake.
To become a tanin. That's the language of the pasuk. Moshe's staff at the burning bush became a nachash. Moshe's staff at the burning bush became a nachash, and that was to be a sign for the Bnei Yisrael. What Aaron does in front of Paro is to throw down Aaron's staff, which the Torah describes as turning into a tanin. Now Rashi calls Tanin a Nachash, but I could take Rashi to task because it's not correct. I mean, you know, it's sacrilegious to say that Rashi made a mistake. But a Tanin is not a Nachash. A Tanin is something else. If it were a Nachash, it would be called a Nachash. The Torah says Tanin. A Tanin is typically translated as a crocodile, whereas a Nachash is kind of a snake.
Not the same staff.
Okay? So that's the formula. When Moshe is supposed to bring out water before the people, so maybe he needs to have the Zekanim present. That's another thing which is missing in Bamidbar. But that's the way Moshe is supposed to do it. The problem in Shemos was that the people were saying, where's God? We don't know where God is. So Moshe says, okay, I'm going to show you where God is by bringing out water. And there was a different group in Bamidbar. There was an Eda, and there was an Am. And Moshe knew kind of how to deal with an Am, but when God told him how to deal with the Kahal, with the Eda, rather, so, you know, I think that those instructions got mixed, because Moshe was dealing with two different groups. A group that had patience, a group that if they had seen the staff, they would have gotten it, and they would have understood, and a group that, you know, they were looking to pick a fight, and they were not pleased, no matter what Moshe was going to do. So that's, I think, the beginning of where things begin to fall apart. Now turn over the page, back to page 1, and we'll spend the rest of the time reading through the Aksavya Kabbalah's commentary on this. Now we also...
Who is
that's me, yeah. So you also have to recognize, and I mentioned this at the outset, that what Moshe and Aaron are dealing with at the same time as all this is going on is the fact that their sister just died. Okay, and that there doesn't seem to be a passage of time. And that's why everybody says that when Miriam died, Miriam's merit was what kept the well going. And so when Miriam died and the well stopped, well, that's how quickly it went. So here you have the people who have been with Moshe and Aaron for 40 years at this point. Like, it's one thing if you want to say in Shemos, they don't have a lot of patience. They've only just left Egypt. Right? The Mun only just started to fall. They're just trying to get a grip on how they're going to be surviving while they're here, even though they've been promised it's a short time. Obviously, the decree of 40 years hasn't happened yet, and the golden calf hasn't happened yet. But people are trying to get a hold on what is life going to be like here. And so, for everything, they're going to be legitimately complaining. But here, after 40 years, in our parsha in Chukas, the people are coming to Moshe as if this kind of thing has never happened before. But even worse, this is your Rebbe for 40 years. Your Rebbe and your Aaron, your Kohen Gadol. Their sister died. They're sitting Shiva. And you're complaining about water? I mean, how you tough in could it be? You have to let them mourn a little bit. Make a Shiva visit. Miriam was wonderful. We're going to miss her. There's an issue. We'll deal with it when you're done.
We don't know what time elapsed.
No, but it seems the reason why everybody says that the Be'er was in Miriam's merit was because Vatamasha Miriam Atikaver Hashem v'lo yamayim leida. That's the passage. Miriam dies. She's buried there. That's the end of one pasuk. And the next pasuk, and the Eida did not have water. That's it. It's pasuk Aleph Beis. And so they say it's this one led into the other. All right, so let's take a look. So I just gave you Pasuk Aleph just because it was an interesting sociological insight. Nowadays, because we have refrigeration, we treat everybody the same, I imagine. But it says, V'tikaver samach l'misa sakpur asa. And when it came to Miriam, shortly after she died, she was buried. Mikanam razals, the rabbis taught us, she'ein mashin mitos anashim. You don't delay the burial of the women. Okay, so that was just a thought. But again, nowadays, because we have ways of preserving bodies for however much time it takes until an actual burial, even though we do try to do it very fast, and especially in Israel, we do it very quickly. But nonetheless, I don't know that rule is as essential in the same way that it may have been once upon a time. Okay, vidibartem le'enehem. Okay, vidibartem le'enehem. So this is the instruction which God gave to Moshe and to Aaron. Ein lefaresh le'enehem aleva haraos. He says, don't explain the word le'enehem to be referring to the sense of sight. Okay,
right.
About this, kein adibur poel be'eva haraos rak ba'ozen. He says, what is v'dibartem le'enehem? You're going to speak to their eyes. What do you speak to them? Right? Ladies and gentlemen, lend me your ears, okay? Every time you hear about dibur, about speech, it has to be ozen, the ear. When Avram is negotiating over Maras Machpela, he speaks to Ephron to the ears of the nation of the land. So here it should also say, if you're going to be speaking to them, it should be to their ears. Once you're talking about a part of the head, you should be invoking the sense of hearing, not the sense of sight. Mahu le'enehem. So what's the big idea with the word le'enehem? Itachin. So it makes sense to suggest shahora asokan einei hayizbonanus v'targimo, that what does le'enehem mean? Sometimes the metaphor, the image of eyes, is a reference to understanding, pay attention, but also that they should understand what's going on over here. Come up, open your eyes and see. What does it mean, open your eyes and see? My eyes are open, but do you really see?
No.
Okay, have you ever seen The Matrix? You haven't seen The Matrix, right?
Yeah, sure.
Neo, when was the first time you actually saw the world for what it is? When your eyes are open and now you understand. Right, when Adam and Chava's eyes opened up and they knew they were naked. What, they hadn't seen that they were naked before? They knew they weren't wearing clothes. But the idea that nakedness is something which you want to cover, That comes from seeing and understanding. She'inyanam hasagas ideas v'izbonus. Okay? And he says, that's what Rashi says, Masha kasu lehakdi sheni le'nebnei Yisrael. And when God says at the end that you didn't sanctify me to the eyes of Bnei Yisrael, she'ilu dibartim al'asel ve'otzi me'mav ha'yisi mikudash le'inei ha'ida. Says, you know, had you spoken before the rock and taken out water, I would have been sanctified before the people. Because they'll say, oh, this rock, it doesn't listen and it doesn't hear, and yet it fulfills the word of God, so certainly we should. According to that view, the idea of bringing sanctification to God's name here is that people should be able to see that or value what the a command of God is, and that's what the Nehem is. That they should see and understand them. And God says, "You do." I never remember who Reish and Rav is. Some Rav. The words of Torah compared to water. And a person's heart is compared to a stone. It's hard to impress. I mean, lachakok literally means to engrave. Okay? To engrave, like in a stone, the words of the Torah and mitzvahs. Okay, so now God did an amazing thing in the wilderness. He took out water from a tzur, from a sela. These are different kinds of rocks. God could have made rainfall. He could have opened up underwater springs. So why instead is he taking out water from different kinds of rocks? Aval also came lelamed Yisrael das. The whole point is for people to get an understanding that the world is run and operated by God. If you see a natural spring, what do you say? Oh, look, a natural spring. If you see rain, what do you say? Oh, look, clouds came, it's rain. But if you see a rock, which is not attached to anything, and it's producing water, what do you say? First you say, well, how'd they do this? Okay, but then you say, okay, okay, or holy God. You say, this is unbelievable. That's why God used Iraq. L'lamed Yisrael das. Afal pisha yetzer le'alev ra, even though a person's inclination is bad, u'negative tiv'o, lachshiro la'tor v'mitzvah, it goes against his nature to be opened up to Torah mitzvah. Mikom lakom efshar hadavar. But nevertheless, it's possible. When a person accepts the help of heaven, just as this difficult rock, this hard rock, can bring out water against its nature with God's strength, he says that's what the heart is. A heart is compared to stone, right? It's compared to stone. So just as the stone can bring out water, the heart, which is compared to a stone, can be strengthened to accept the Torah mitzvah, which is compared to water. In other words, to get closer to God. But at first, it's very difficult for a person to do that. And a person needs rebuke, needs to learn ethical teachings. And that's what God hinted as well at Mei Tzur, which is the first story that we saw before from Shemos. But Tziva Moshe Berefidim Shiakel Tzur B'Mateu, in the waters from the Tzur, as opposed to here, which is a Sela, that's what Moshe was told to do: strike the rock with your staff. Ki Be'Esahu Hayalibam Adayin Leiv Evan. These just recently redeemed slaves, they still had a heart of stone. And so they needed, what do you do with a stone? You gotta hit it. That's the only way to break through. If the stone is more like a heart and it's softer and it's penetrable, then it gets a different kind of treatment. But what he's saying is that in Shemos, when the people, they had a heart of stone because they had just been, any kind of soul, any kind of neshama had just been beaten out of them from the years and century plus of slavery. So there's only one way to get a message to them: just strike it. However, l'chein b'sofar ba'im shana kishanasan lahem abe'er tziva b'dibartem el asela. So first Moshe, at the end of 40 years, when he's told about this be'er, he's told, speak to the sack, to the rock. Lo sheyakehu, don't strike it. Lahoros, to demonstrate, ki adorahu libam lev basar, to show that the people that you're dealing with now, they have a heart which is made out of flesh. Ubetivehem, and in their nature, osim toro mitzvah, they have been trained very differently than those who had just recently left Egypt. Ki adorahu ksiv, etem advekim b'ashem, chayim kulchem ayom. You who cling to God, right, this is in Parshas Veschanan, you cling to God, you're all alive today. This is the generation that's going to be inheriting the land. I mean, of course, the Ksava Kabbalah is talking about after the fact. These are the ones who got the land. But Moshe also says to them, God has not given you a heart to understand, eyes to see, and again, eyes to see meaning to really understand, because Nain Lishmo, you used to hear until today, Yador Shalafanav, Lo Zachu Lelev Matana, the group that was in front of him, they didn't merit to a lev, what's a lev matana, which was gifted. What? It's a gift, right? Uchamru ve'ilu nivonim lo matza, ki anavonu baal hasgula hazos. So what happens over here is that Moshe isn't necessarily getting across because he's not perceiving in the way that maybe he should be about who these people are. So when they gather and they say, hey, what's going on over here in Kadesh, when they gather against him and they start to fight, Moshe says, no, there's something still missing here, and they still have a heart of stone. Moshe says, where have you guys been the last 40 years? Haven't you paid attention to anything? And because of how he understood this, right? It's not that striking the rock is the wrong thing to do. Moshe, it's the right thing to do, but not for these people. These people, they don't need that. They need talk to the heart. They need penetration to the heart, which is open and available and willing to accept the right kind of mussar. But this is not the right kind of mussar. And that's why it's not acceptable. They would have gotten it if Moshe had only communicated with the rock in that soft way. It didn't need the striking in the same way that he had done in Rephidim at the end of Parshas Peshach. So it seems, and of course the Rambam, many commentaries have different views as to what the problem here is. Just as an example, the Rambam says that the problem is in the way that Moshe spoke to them. The fact that he called them morim, that he called them rebels, is the problem. The Ramban takes issue with that. He thinks that because God says that you didn't yan lohem mantim bi lakasheni, you didn't have faith in me to sanctify me. I don't know how the Ramban gets around the fact that it says at the very end, vayikadesh bam, that God was sanctified there. But Ramban says, because you didn't have faith in me to sanctify me, so what's his problem? He says that the fact that Moshe says, amin asel azeh notzi lachem mayim, right, that we are going to take out water. What they needed to do is sanctify and say, what's going to happen is that the boss is going to take out the water, and you guys should just sit and watch. Right? It's similar to what Moshe says at the splitting of the sea. Remember what Moshe says? Hashem yilachem lachem, yatam tachrishun. God's going to fight for you. Don't worry, it's all going to be taken care of. You just got to just be patient. It's going to happen. Okay? And it happened. Okay? Yeah.
Perhaps the question about sanctification is that there would have been a greater degree of sanctification if he spoke to the rabbi.
Oh, for sure. If it had just stopped there. Okay, but the idea that I think the Torah is indicating the fact of the matter is that if Moshe brings out water from the rock, as he will drink, there is absolutely sanctification.
A higher level.
Correct. And that's the point that he's making. That the level that Moshe communicated with the people was wrong. Now, let's say, for example, if Moshe hadn't said, Shimu no hamorim, listen, you rebels, hamin hasel azeh notzi lachem mayim, and he had just gone ahead and hit the rock. Okay? Would it have been a problem? So according to the Rambam, it would not have been a problem. According to the Ramban, it would not have been a problem. Because he doesn't say, Notzi Lechemayim, right? That's the Ramban's issue. But according to Aksavia Kabbalah, it still would have been a problem. Okay, a lot of people take Moshe to task for what he says. But I don't think that's a problem. Because Moshe was dealing with an unruly group. You have an Eda, they're quiet. They're ready to hear, okay, you know, the water's going to come when it comes. But there's Am, they're the ones who are getting under Moshe's skin, and Moshe's responding to them. And they were not who God had instructed him to deal with. And he dealt with them wrong. Because the Ksava Kabbalah says that the way they needed to be dealt with was with a talking. And he said, V'dibartem el hasel doesn't mean talk to the rock. It means talk to the people. It means give them a Musar Shmuz, but a nice Musar Shmuz. Look at the opportunity we have here. Water is going to come from this rock, folks. You need to understand where it's coming from. It's not coming from a magic trick. I don't need to hit this rock. We just need to have patience. It's going to come. And then it's going to come. That's what Moshe needed to do. The fact that he does everything else that he does, hitting the rock wasn't wrong. But for this generation, the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying it was wrong. Right. Okay, so that's part of the problem as well, losing his temper. That's another one of the comments. I don't remember which one says that, but yeah. So let's take a look. Pasuk Yud. Shimon HaMorim. Again, we're just following the Ksav HaKabbalah. Yesh Rabbi Hussein Chatu Liyesh Min Rabbi. I love what he says that. Liyesh Min Rabbi Hussein. To some of our rabbis, Chatu Moshe V'Aaron B'zeh She'ikilu B'chavod Yisrael. Moshe and Aaron's sin was that they were light. In other words, they didn't respect enough the Kavod Yisrael. When they spoke to them negatively. Okay, that's the Rambam, like I mentioned. The Hamazalzel B'chavod HaTzibur K'ilu M'chal Al HaSashem. And somebody who desecrates the honor of the congregation is as if he is desecrating God's name. Okay?
Cheapen,
okay. Better translation, thank you. B'tochachas al avon al yidei avon echad shayu b'yad Moshe lochiach es banecha v'amar lahem shimun amor. Moshe was supposed to take the opportunity to give them proper rebuke, and instead he was nasty to them, right, in saying shimun amor. Basically, because Moshe just lost it on them, and he didn't have the right kind of honor and respect for them, the respect that Moshe was to give towards the, or I should say, the respect that God had towards his desire to enter the land was also mizalzel. The Amrusham Atach Ilosa, when Moshe says, you started to give over and show me the greatness of who you are. Moshe says to God, why do I not get to go into the land? Because I said that these people, these rebels, should listen. Right, so Moshe says in the Book of Dvarim that he describes how the people from the very beginning day of when Moshe knew them, you were rebels. But nobody jumps on Moshe for calling them rebels in Dvarim. Some only jump on him for doing that over here. He says, here's the problem. Moshe, I'm on the third line now on page 2. Moshe was, what was the word you used before? Not denigrate, I used denigrate. What did you say? For mizalzel?
Cheapened.
Kavod on Hashem shelo chatu, the honor of people who did not sin. Ki amikra lo hodiyenu. Rak mechei ta'am, sheim apchusim anikroim erev rav, vayorev ha'am im Moshe. So he says that the people that I've been describing up until now as Am, the one who are actually fighting with Moshe, they're the Erev Rav. So what the rest of the congregation do, Aval Ha'eda, look what he says. Hey, Madas Yisrael Aksherim, Anikrim Kal Hashem. So he's disagreeing a little bit with the way that I presented it before, but he's saying that the Eda, these are good people who are referred to as Kal Hashem. Lo dibru uma binyan zeh. They didn't say anything negative. Me'ela amar krash eloya ma'im lo eda. That's what the Torah was saying when it says that the eda didn't have water. Vayikalu al Moshe ve'al Aaron, and they gathered against Moshe and Aaron. Lo shemana mehem av dibur kal rak shenikalu. We don't find a single word come out of them, only that they gathered. In other words, they've always looked to Moshe and Aaron to help them. They come to Moshe and Aaron, and their faces are basically saying, no, but that's it. Ulai lo hisar raka la bakasha levad, mi Moshe and Aaron, shishadu betulasam, lashkit simon afshusam. Maybe all that they were requesting of Moshe was, hey, can you help get rid of the thirst of our soul? And God did not say anything about the Am. God said, only gather the Eda. Moshe did not gather the Am. Moshe gathered the Eda. So now it's a little hard because he says that he gathered the Kahol, which is a different word. So I'm not really sure that his... I mean, I like his analysis, but there's a small question there. So these people he's claiming did not sin at all. So he's suggesting that Moshe did gather the Eda, but he did not. He was not nice to the Eda because the Eda were good people, and he called them rebels. So, okay, anyway, but the point is that he's looking at these people and he's treating them based on the way that the only people who should be treated this way are the Erev Rav. Okay, so to finish it up, and we're going to bring forth water for you. So he's quoting the Ramban, who says that what Moshe seems to be doing in drawing credit here is not giving proper credit where it is due. Rabbi Ibn Ezra Amar, that what Moshe was doing was he was actually calling into doubt what God was saying. Do we have the strength in nature to bring out water? But from God, it's what he needed to say, that this is going to be something wondrous from God, but he took credit for something that humans might be able to do. Ramban Amar, Shechaser Kan Alav, V'ra'uy Lamar, B'Tashlumom, Nasel Azen Otzi Lechem Mayim Im Lo, Yon Sham. So that's the Ramban's view, that Moshe should not have said, I'm going to sell Azen Notzi, but it should have said Yotzi, that God would do it. V'lin Nira B'Chavanaz Ma'amar Zeh, so just to get to cut to the chase with the Ksav HaKabbalah, he says, "Ha'im ra'uy lachem atem hamorim." He says, "Is it? Are you worthy? You who are rebelling, lachem she'einchem aminim ba'Hashem, to you who are not believing in God. Ha'im la'anashim ke'ela ra'uy b'nachon le'asos ma'aseh niflah kazeh? Is it really proper and correct? And are they worthy to have this wonderful thing done for them?" To change the natural order of the world, and to draw water out of the sela. Milas lachem daika. Okay, so it's not about amin asela zeh notzi lachem. Moshe was saying, we have this a lot in this neighborhood when the different fights and the developments about religious freedom. You people, you know that phrase. You ever hear that one? You people. So that's what Moshe is doing. For you people, you're not deserving because you're complainers, because you're rebels. And so Moshe is what was that word you're getting used? Not denigrating. Mizalza. I know that's the word. Cheapening the kavod of Am Yisrael. Milas lachem daika. V'zeh ein tzarech l'tosefes dvarim shel Ibn Ezra l'ashlum achisaron. Halab the Ramban. We don't need the Menezra. We don't need the Ramban. Behena hey tmiya miskayemes. Behena maybe as havamina tmiya miskayemes. Shirak nefels vekach amar b'mechilta chadat derashbi. Tama Moshe v'amar. The Mechilta says Moshe was wondering and he said, "Amin asel azen otzila chemayim keivan de asun lo azlun ve'orach meishar." Does that mean when they went if they once they actually come, they came into Asun, lo azlun ba'orach meshar, they did not come in a straight way. Right, I'm saying they didn't. Wait, so lo azlun, you're saying is on Moshe? Came into Asun. When the people came, lo azlun ba'orach meshar, that Moshe didn't deal with them in the proper kind of way. So what we're doing, what we're seeing here is not as much a concern over what Moshe did with the rock as much as it is a concern over the way Moshe treated the people. And that gets back to what you were suggesting at the outset, which is that maybe this is Moshe part B. That Moshe, you know, and of course, you know, what is the actual punishment? If you look at the actual punishment, what is Moshe told in Pasuk Beis on page 844? L'chein lo saviu es hakohol. You cannot. What does lo saviu? It doesn't say you can't enter the land. It says you cannot bring this congregation. So what's the midah keneged midah? You can't lead them now because you're doing it wrong in the way you're talking to them. You can't lead them in the future. That's midah keneged midah. The punishment, Moshe, you know, the idea suggesting Moshe hit the rock, therefore he can't go into Israel, is ludicrous. It makes no sense at all. God operates midah keneged midah. But if you look at what's going on here, as Moshe is not relating to them properly, then the midah keneged midah is, and it's clear, because the pasuk doesn't say you can't go into the land, it says you can't lead the people. Now, that could translate to you don't go into the land, but I posit that there are many other reasons why Moshe can't go into the land. This is just icing on the cake. Once you can't lead them, you can't go in anyway. But that's because of who Moshe was. But the midah keneged midah is, you're not leading them now properly, so you can't lead them anymore in the future.
Word lane also.
Those, where?
In the
right, l'akishen le'enei b'nei Yisrael. Right, so that also follows, that. But that's also, so that's a good support of the midah keneged midah. You had the opportunity to lead them properly, le'eneihem, to give them knowledge, to give them understanding, to teach them about God, to teach them about Kiddush Hashem, to teach them about what it means to have faith, to be patient, to believe that God is gonna come through. And you didn't do that. Whatever you were supposed to do Lanehem, you didn't do Lanehem. And so since you didn't do it Lanehem, you're not going to lead them anymore because you're not leading them in this instance correctly. And so therefore you're not going to be leading them in the other instance correctly either. That's the punishment, that's the midah keneged midah.